Well, good morning again. My name is Andy, and I'm not the person who normally preaches here on Sundays. Christian Andrews, the senior pastor, is not here, so please be praying for him and for his family this weekend. This morning, we're going to be looking at this one main question, and it's, what is the next step of faith that Jesus is calling you to take? For me, this was a big question that I've been sorting through for a long time. This first began when I was a senior in college at Rutgers, and at the time, I was trying to decide, what is it that Jesus is calling me to do? What is the next step of faith he wanted me to take? Because during that time, I was really torn between two questions. Would I pursue law school, the thing that I've been planning my whole life to do, or would I instead pursue some type of ministry? Because as I was getting ready to graduate college, I was a political science and history major, and so going to law school is the logical thing to do if I want to get paid eventually. But for me, the whole idea of following Jesus was kind of a newer thing, because before college, I wasn't much of a follower of Christ. But when I got to college, I got involved with this campus ministry, and when I got involved with them, I started going to Bible studies, I started learning how to pray, I learned how to share my faith with other people, and I even went on a missions trip to Russia and Armenia. And during that time, my faith began to grow, and I realized maybe there is some different plan that I'm supposed to be pursuing. So by that fall semester of my senior year, I was torn. I was wavering. Should I continue to pursue law school, or will I pursue some type of ministry? I had a plan for my life, but after I had been following Christ for some time, those plans were beginning to change, and I had to ask, what is the next step of faith for me? This morning, we're going to look at a particular story from the Gospels. It's kind of a familiar one, and it's found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. In this story, right before it, we find out that the disciples had been following Jesus for some time also, and their plans had also been changing. They got to travel with Jesus. They got to hear Jesus teach. They heard him teach some of his great I am statements, such as, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They got to see Jesus help people and heal people. He helped people who were sick, people who were paralyzed. He even raised people from the dead. They got to witness all of that, and right before the story we're going to look at this morning, they got to witness him doing a great miracle by feeding 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish. And so right after that feeding of the 5,000 story, we read this. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. The disciples were now moving into a very scary place. They got in a boat and rowed out several miles from the shore, and then they get caught in this strong wind. And while they're out there, they're rowing and rowing and rowing for hours, but they're not getting anywhere. The sun sets, and they're stuck. Imagine if you were there for a moment. You're stuck with no easy way forward or no easy way back. They're experiencing that frustration, and maybe you've experienced this too, of trying your hardest to move forward, but to get nowhere. They're in a boat, at night, getting nowhere. This is a scary place. And if you were one of them, what would you be feeling at that moment? If you were one of them, what is the one thing that you would want? It's easy to imagine them wishing that they were back on land, eating some of the bread or some of the fish that they had just given to the crowds that afternoon, and wishing to have Jesus there to help them. And so, for you, what are some of the scary places that you have found yourself in recently? Because maybe for you, that scary place is the waiting room of the doctor's office, or of the unemployment office, or of the house that is now strangely quiet. And when you are in that scary place, what is it that you most want? Well, we want to feel safe. We want to feel loved. We want to feel like God is present and strong and loving and powerful. And so what the disciples wanted was simply to get to where they were trying to go. If only Jesus were here would be a pretty reasonable wish, because not long before this, they had been out on a boat and they were caught in a storm. But Jesus was with them, and he calmed the storm, and he calmed them. And it was a powerful miracle that helped them to believe in Jesus, to recognize his power, and to be willing to trust him. But this time, they were on their own, or at least so they thought. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. So early in the morning, they see Jesus walking toward them, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus. And that's very understandable. It's dark. There's just maybe a little bit of faint light, maybe a little bit of mist on the water. And they see some shape moving toward them, and they think that it's a ghost. Now, for us, that sounds kind of crazy because we're so familiar with this story. We've heard this story. Oh, the Jesus walking on water story, that old thing. But for these disciples, this was not something familiar. This was something terrifying. They were trying to process what they were seeing with the little information they had, and their most reasonable conclusion was that they must be seeing a ghost. And part of the reason that they might have been thinking that is that in ancient times, there was this belief that people who had drowned would haunt the waters in which they had drowned. And so when they see this figure walking at them, they assume that it's a ghost. And it didn't occur to them to think, oh, I bet that's Jesus. Like, that was not on their radar screen. When Jesus showed up in a way that was different from what they expected, they totally didn't recognize him. And I think that oftentimes our expectations of what it would look like for God to show up can limit our ability to see him when he actually does show up. The first step of faith is recognizing Jesus when he comes walking toward us. And we should be open to the idea that maybe when Jesus shows up, it's going to look a little different than we expect. In fact, if Jesus walked up to your life right now, what are you expecting that that would look like? Because maybe it's going to look a little bit different than what you're expecting. Maybe Jesus walking up into your life right now doesn't look like you receiving an immediate healing that you're seeking. Maybe Jesus walking up to your life right now looks like getting comfort from unexpected people. Maybe Jesus walking up to your life right now doesn't look like finding the job that you need right now, but it looks like letting someone help you when you are the person who normally is so busy helping other people. Maybe Jesus walking up to you right now isn't that person that you love coming back to be with you, but it's instead finding the strength to actually live and to experience joy and hope once again. So what happens next? Well, it says, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." When the disciples see Jesus walking on the water and they think that he's a ghost, what do you imagine they're expecting this ghost to say to them? Boo! No, he doesn't say that. What does he actually say? He says, "I am." This is the exact same phrase that Jesus had been teaching them and the crowds for some time. It's the exact same phrase that began, "I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Some translations read, "It is I," but in the Greek, it literally says, "I am." Jesus speaks a familiar word to them so that they can begin to recognize him. And we recognize Jesus when we hear him say, "I am. I am here. I am loving. I am with you. I am for you. I am stronger than your greatest fears and stronger than your greatest struggles." When Jesus walks toward us, he declares that he is the great I am. And hear this, the same Jesus that walked on water to his disciples still walks to his disciples today. And that means he is walking to you and to me. So let's see how the disciples respond. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water, and he came toward Jesus. when Peter gets out of that boat and steps on the water for that first moment, imagine this. He has to disregard everything he has ever known about being a fisherman, about being a guy who spent his whole life on the water. But he does this because he recognizes Jesus. And when he recognizes Jesus, he wants to walk to him. Faith is recognizing Jesus and walking with him. We might not have everything figured out when we begin to recognize Jesus. We might not have everything figured out before we are called to get out of the boat. We heard a lot of that from the people who got baptized here a few weeks ago. We might still have a lot of questions when we feel Jesus calling us. We might have questions like, how do I reconcile my faith with my understanding of science? We might have questions like, how will following Jesus affect me in the relationships that I have? We might wonder, how much do I really believe? How much do I really understand? But the thing to know is, we don't have to figure out all of those questions before we get out of the boat. In fact, it's a lot easier to sort through those questions as we walk with Jesus rather than before. So then why stay in the boat? Why not get out of the boat? So if we believe that Jesus is walking toward us, faith is getting out of the boat and walking toward him. So what would it look like for you to get out of your boat? There are some big steps of faith that we've gotten to hear people take in our congregation recently. Maybe for some of you, getting out of the boat looks like leaving a prestigious, comfortable, safe job in New York City so that you can work closer to home and be with your family, even though it's less money. Maybe for some of you, getting out of the boat looks like earning your doctorate, but then setting your career aside for 3.5 years so that you can serve as an unpaid executive pastor in this church. Maybe for some of you, getting out of the boat looks like choosing to adopt a child when you feel like you already have enough mouths to feed. Maybe for some of you, getting out of the boat looks like getting down on one knee and making a commitment to someone that you love. And maybe for some of you, getting out of the boat is saying yes. So what happens when Peter gets out of the boat? Well, it says that, but when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? After Peter gets out of the boat, he does the impossible. He walks on water. This is a miraculous moment. But right after he starts doing that, what happens next? He falters. He begins to sink. He stops to look back from where he came. He stops to look at his circumstances. He stops looking at Jesus, and he starts to sink. Taking a step of faith involves keeping our eyes on where we are going rather than on where we have come from. And where we are going should be moving towards Jesus. And there's something poetically beautiful happening if you read between the lines in the Greek because of Peter's and Jesus's names. Because in Greek, names are usually preceded by the definite article, the. So we read about the Peter and the Jesus. Peter's name, as some of you know, means the rock. And Jesus's name means the Lord saves. So when we read a story about some guy who gets this great idea that he's going to go walk on water and his name is the rock, yeah, what do you think is going to happen? And when we read about someone whose name is the Lord saves, what do you think is going to happen? When Peter starts to sink, he calls out in faith, Lord, save me. Do you remember that Greek word for the Lord saves? It's Jesus. It's like he calls out, Jesus me. And Jesus does. After we get out of our boats, we may also have moments when we falter. And sometimes the next step of faith is simply knowing to call out, Jesus, save me. We need Jesus to save us too. So then what's the result? Well, when they get when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Personally, I connect with this story. I connect with this story because at one moment, the disciples are totally wavering. But then they're doing something amazing, but then they're wavering again. And when that happens, Jesus rebuffs them for their doubts and for their wavering faith, but he still keeps walking toward them. He still gets in the boat with them, and he still sits with them, even though their lives are a mess. Jesus accepts them without accepting their doubts and their wavering faith. And the one that we recognize and walk toward has already recognized us and has chosen to still walk toward us. Jesus recognizes that we have our doubts. Jesus recognizes that we have our fears, but he still comes to us and gets in our lives even when they're a mess, because that's a picture of what grace looks like. Grace looks like a Savior who is still willing to get in our boats and still willing to walk with us and still willing to save us. We can have faith because Jesus has shown us grace. And as a result of Jesus' grace toward them, what did the disciples do? Well, they recognize Jesus, they try to walk with him, and then they worship him. And I think that the more we recognize Jesus, the more we choose to follow him and to walk with him, the more we are going to want to worship him. So for me, being in the boat and knowing that it was time to get out of the boat looked a lot like being a senior in college, trying to figure out what God was calling me to do. There was an uncertain future that lay ahead of me, but all of that uncertainty and all of that wavering came to a clear halt one particular day. It was a few days after Christmas, and I was at a Christian conference. And while I was at this conference, there was a musician who was speaking, and while that musician was speaking, I felt like at that moment, God was saying something directly to me through that guy. And so as I felt that, I left that conference room, and I found a small private room in which I can go and pray. And when I did, I just opened up to God, and I said, God, I don't know what to do next. I want to follow you. I want to honor you. Here are the things that I've been doing. Here are the things that I've been doubting. And I just confess to God, God, I've been doubting everything from your ability to provide to even if you're there. I just want to say that out loud to you. And when I cleared the air and I confessed all those things to God, I felt clearly that God spoke to me. And what I clearly knew was this: don't pursue law school, pursue ministry. And so after that moment, I cried. I was overwhelmed with what had happened, but I knew, yeah, I was going to get out of the boat, and I was going to walk away from those years of plans of law school into this uncertain future of something to do with ministry. And at the time, I didn't know what that was going to look like, but I went back to my friends in the conference room, and I told them what I was going to do, and I got out of the boat. And I can tell you this, while everything did not turn out the way that I would have expected, and I could have never predicted the path that God fully called me to take, I've experienced the joy of walking with Jesus that entire time. And it has been exciting and sometimes terrifying, but the whole time I've gotten to keep my eyes on Jesus and to see him present with me. So the question then is, what is the next step of faith that Jesus is calling you to take? And I know that everyone here is at a different place in life. For some of you, the whole idea of God and Jesus is completely scary, and it's completely new. And for you, the next step of faith will be just being open to recognizing Jesus, being open to realizing that when Jesus shows up, it might not look like what you're expecting, but to trust that he is walking to you right now. And so for you, I pray that you would open up your eyes of faith, open up your hearts to him, and when he shows up, the question for you is, will you receive him when he appears in a way that's different than what you might have expected? And some of you are already familiar with Jesus. You've been following Jesus for years, and you are more comfortable with the things that he's been saying. But for you, there may be that big thing that Jesus is calling you to do. And you know that Jesus is calling you to get out of your boat, and it is scary. And maybe getting out of the boat is scarier than the scary places that you're in right now. But I can tell you this with all confidence. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, and if we focus more on him than on our circumstances and on our fears, then we're going to find that faith allows us to do amazing, seemingly impossible things. So for you, my prayer is that you would let Jesus speak to you, that you would let Jesus speak to you words of affirmation and encouragement and confidence. And so for you, will you take that next step, and will you get out of the boat, and will you do the amazing? And lastly, some of you know that you're sinking. Some of you know that you need saving. And for you, I pray that you would call out to God, and that you would call out right now in this moment in prayer and say, Lord, Jesus me, save me. Because the one who is called the Lord saves still saves his people today. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I thank you that you still go out and seek people who are lost at sea. I thank you that you still walk toward people, that you still walk toward us, even when our lives are a mess. Jesus, I pray right now for the people here in this congregation, that we would have the eyes of faith that would be open to seeing you. Help us to recognize you. Help us to recognize you, Jesus, in our scary places. I pray that as we recognize you, we would have the ears to hear the words you are speaking to us. Let us hear you confidently declare, I am. Let us know in our bones that you are here and strong and loving. Let us hear that you are our good shepherd, that you are our bread of life. Let us hear that you are the way and the truth and the life. And let us take heart. And Father, I pray for those of us now who are facing big challenges and big steps of faith, that we would not be afraid, and that we would get out of the boat and fix our eyes on you and do the amazing and the seemingly impossible. And Father, I pray also for all those now who know that they desperately need you to save them. I pray that in their heart of hearts, in their souls, they would call out to you and just pray, Lord Jesus, save me. And Jesus, I pray that you would come into their heart and that you would save them and be with them. We pray this now, Christ, in your name, because you have come toward us and shown us grace. Amen.